I like that idea.
Yeah.
I guess that is his iconic, I guess that is his most signature play of all time for him right now, right?
Yeah.
Because
I always like to
think of that kind of stuff. Like Magic Johnson. This is his greatest, his most signature play ever to me was the Junior Skyhook, right?
Yeah.
When he hit the hook. To me, Bird's was that play he made against the Houston Rockets where he took the shot in the finals, missed it, got his own rebound, and then made it with a left hand falling out of bounds. Jordan's got a bunch.
I mean, the Jordan statue has got, I mean, I'm looking at it right now,
oh,
the
yeah.
Jordan statue's got, like, guys
defenders?
Hanging on him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Which I thought it did, because I was there a couple years
right.
ago, and I saw it, and that's what I thought, but I wanted to double check it. But yeah, it's...
Like, I would think, you know, Kareem would be the skyhook. Obviously, you'd show him doing a skyhook. Yeah, Curry, I think, would be...
Hands on hips, mouthpiece hanging out of his mouth.
You know what? That's a great call with a mouthpiece. That's a great call with a mouthpiece. The only way you want... Like, I'd love the mouthpiece on the statue, but then it's got to be of him basically taking a free throw, which is fine. That's fine, because he's... Going to be the greatest free throw shooter
yeah.
of all time, too.
888-957-9570. What's the appropriate pose for your Stephen Curry statue?
Well, yeah, mouthpiece. He's got to have the mouthpiece on the statue.
Where would you put it if you're going to put one in Oakland?
I'd put it at Lake Mary.
Because you're going to need one. There's going to be one at Chase Center because that's
right.
what's going to be around
I would put
for the next
it, I like the
years.
Idea of where the parade was because there's a big area there.
Right.
To have that, and it would overlook the lake.
Let's get to BT in Oakland, and then more phone calls after that as well. What's up, BT?
Hey, how you doing now?
Hey, what's up?
All right,
BT. Sorry, man. See you later. Got to keep it moving. Got to be ready to roll. We go to you. Got to be ready.
707 says the shimmy. I don't know how you do that in a
gotta
statue.
You got to be ready to shoot your shot.
Maybe. Well, you know what? Maybe by the time they have a statue, statues will be so different that
it'll be like bobbleheads.
Yeah, it'll be like a bobblehead instead of a
it'll
shimmy.
Just kind of sway.
Yeah. Mouthpiece or pointing up. How about him pointing up? That could be it.
Yeah.
That could be it.
Statue of him celebrating a three before it goes in.
I think pointing to the sky and looking up might be. That's a good one. Yeah, see, I like thinking about stuff like
yeah.
this.
888-957-9570 if you want to weigh in on that. The calls are coming in. We're getting them all lined up right now.
Gotcha.
Lots of different topics on the board. We got your DeMarcus Cousins topic on the board. What's your biggest concern with Cousins coming back, and what are you most excited about? With DeMarcus Cousins coming back. We're talking about where you put Stephen Curry among all-time great point guards. And we're also talking about Stephen Curry's getting a statue, and then there's everybody else. And you, since the team's going to be moving to San Francisco next year, you might as well figure out a way to honor him at Oakland in addition to the statue that will eventually go up in front of Chase Center.
Right. Yeah, a lot of good stuff to touch on, for sure.
So we're throwing that all around here between now and 1 o'clock, and we're also going to be joined by Tim Bontemps, 11:30, and O'Donnell Foyle, 12:30, here on 95.7 The Game, before we get you to a day of NFL football.
I'm actually really looking forward to talking to O'Donnell Foyle.
Okay.
Because he was a center in a different era, and he was a... I'll just tell you where I'm going to go with O'Donnell Foyle. He was, say what you want, he was a great rim protector. He really was. And if you never saw O'Donnell Foyle play, he was not afraid to get dunked on. And he's talked about that a lot. But what I want to ask him is, the one thing he never had to do was go out and guard a James Harden. I wonder, and he was... You know, O'Donnell could move a little bit. He could move a little bit. So I wonder how he would do, he would defend in this day and age, or whether he thinks he could, and if how effective he could be. Because he was a defensive center, O'Donnell Foyle. Certainly wasn't an offensive one.
Yeah. You want to get to some more calls?
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
All right, David El Sobrante. David, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, guys, how you doing today?
Doing well.
All right. I just wanted to chime in on a little Klay Thompson here for a minute.
Sure.
There was a whole banter going around with Warriors fans talking about, oh, he's struggling with his jumper and all this stuff. We need to trade him and all this crap. How come people don't like complete basketball players anymore? Because they don't realize that he's out there guarding Lillard, Westbrook, Kyrie. He's busting his butt, even when his shot isn't falling. And I just want to get your guys' take on why the complete player, such as Giannis or LeBron, those guys are not held as a higher standard as like a Harden or a Curry. Because they just, it seems like they just ignore rebounds, assists, blocks, all the other stuff, and they just concentrate on points. I just wanted to get you guys' take on that. Thank you for taking my call.
I mean, I don't think Klay, even right now, gets the respect he deserves defensively. I really don't. Because as good as he is defensively, he's not spectacular, and he's not lockdown. But what he does is he makes you work, and he tends to turn you into a volume shooter. And I agree. I mean, I believe, how do I want to convince people I love Klay or I think Klay's great? Well, if they didn't have Klay, I don't think they'd win it. It's that simple.
I don't think we had a call earlier wanted to trade him.
I don't think the Warriors win it without Klay Thompson.
And that's my response to that. If you don't have him, then you're giving away your chance to win the championship.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Aaron in Oakley on Warriors this week has a statue idea. Hey, Aaron.
Hey, guys. Great show. I think that the perfect Lake Merritt statue would be, you know, after he hits his three-pointers where he's pointed up at the sky looking up.
Yeah.
I think that the Chase Center is going to have this shot or they're going to have something where he has the ball in his hand. But I think Oakland will remember him best doing that point up in the sky. And it's funny because I was watching some kids play basketball. I saw a kid do that. And I thought, and it's just weird growing up as a Warriors fan in the Bay Area, and I'm, you know, I was born in the 70s, and so the Warriors were always dismal, and now to see kids rocking Warriors gear like the Bulls of the 90s, it kind of blows my mind. And so I think the point up in the sky, his shots come from the heavens, that's for sure.
Thanks, Aaron. It's a good call.
Look, the Warriors are in a period where, I mean, this is history, what they're doing, and it's just a matter of how long it's going to last. That's really what we're talking about.
And they're set up to have it last at least another 6 months.
Yeah, you fooled me there a little bit. You fooled me there a little bit. I thought we were going to get into a guru, not five, not six.
Let's worry about the three-peat
first. Why does everybody want a hologram instead of a statue?
A hologram's cooler than a statue?
Have you ever seen a hologram? Like,
yeah.
Not on TV. Just like in person.
You know what? I don't know that I have.
Yeah, I don't know that I have.
I don't know
either.
That I have now that I think about it.
So I want to know why the hologram is now the. Because our boy Kerry Keating also was talking about a hologram.
New wave, man.
I guess. How do you even do a hologram? What do you know about holograms?
Not a lot.
I don't either.
And I don't know how much I could find out here in the next 30 seconds.
No, I could start and you could. He may have multiple, you know, he may have one at Lake Merritt. He'll have one at Chase. Who knows?
You know who I know won't know anything about holograms? Tim Bontemps. Or care.
You know what? I'll bet he does, actually.
I'll bet he does, but I bet he won't want to talk about it.
No, of course.
But there's a lot going on that Tim will want to talk about. With Philly and Boston and Toronto. And hey, Pat McCaw is a Raptor. It's Warriors this week at 95.7 The Game.
Warriors this week continues on 95.7 The Game.
All right, John Dickinson, Matt Steinmetz rolling along with you until 1 o'clock. Tim Bontemps coming up in 10 minutes, 888-957-9570. That is the phone number to participate in the program. As we're taking calls on a lot of different topics, the latest of which, Stephen Curry statues. And this came up because Steph joined us briefly.
Yes, he did.
On the program earlier, we had Tim Roy on, and Steph wanted to deliver a message to Matt Steinmetz, as he's done that at different times throughout the years.
Yeah. Yeah. You just want to thank me again.
Exactly. Yeah. Can we run it back?
Or? I don't know. Can we run it back?
Just not my long-winded lead up to it, but just Steph's message for Steiny.
What do you say? Yeah,
they're listening to it during the break. We'll take a call. We'll take Brett, and then we'll get to Steph's message for Steiny. Brett, you're on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Brett.
How we doing, guys?
Doing well, man.
I thought the Warriors had a nice scrimmage against the University of Chicago last
yeah,
night.
Thank you.
My real question is, and I mean, seriously, people always throw out like three or four teams who can really contend with the Warriors, whether it be the Eastern Conference or the Western Conference. But who's the one team that can really give the Warriors a run for the money? Thanks for the call, guys.
One team that can give the Warriors a run for their money.
I'm going to stick with the same team I've said all year.
I still don't think there is one.
I don't know if there is or not. I don't know. But if there is, I still think it's Boston. I really do. I think they have enough depth when they're healthy, and they can play hard enough for a series to really make the Warriors compete, I think. Well, better than any other team. The other team it may be time to start looking at a little closer is Denver, because they've got some players. And they're winning, and they're still not healthy. Millsap's back now, but Will Barton's still not back. Murray's been hurt. Gary Harris has been hurt a little bit. Got to pay them respect until we don't pay. You know how we used to pay the Rockets respect, and we saw them at various times, said they're done.
They also beat the Warriors when the Warriors had everybody. And I know it was the, third game of the season?
Yes.
But they beat the Warriors when the Warriors had everybody, which is something that, you know, that's I always make a little note of that anytime it happens. Who's doing it and how are they doing it? So I'm intrigued. Really, I think obviously Cousins has taken the headlines in his return in L.A. and the Clippers aren't a bad team. They've played the Warriors tough a couple of times this year too. The Lakers, although it's looking more and more like LeBron James may not play in that game in 10 days at Staples Center. But I'm actually really intrigued by the Denver game coming up on Tuesday for the reasons that you mentioned and for the fact that, you know, I don't think we take them as seriously because they're trying to go from a team that didn't even make the playoffs last year, and they've jumped all the way, you know, to the top spot
right
in the West halfway through the season.
Right.
I mean, that's odd. You don't see a team go from 9-1 in a season often.
Although, you know, there could be some parallels between, I'm not saying they're going to win it, but there could be some parallels between Denver now and the way the Warriors were in the mid-2010s.
I can't remember who said that a couple of years ago, and I laughed at him.
Denver?
That was kind of the conversation a couple of years ago, that they were setting it up in that way.
You know what? It's always hard to see that with a young team. But if you remember the Warriors, you know, the first year they breakthrough with a 51-win season, and then they upset Denver and give a heck of a series to San Antonio. Then the next year they lost to the Clippers. The next year, they weren't favored to win it. In fact, they were just, hey, the Warriors, they're pretty good, but they shoot a lot of threes, and they're guard-oriented, and Draymond Green is, you know, is he really that good? And a lot of people thought the Warriors kind of won it one year early, maybe, because, and let's be honest, there were some injuries. The Warriors had some good fortune that first year. So maybe that's Denver. The only problem with Denver is they haven't smelled the postseason at all. They're going from like 0 to 60. They need to go from 0 to 60 in, you know, 8 seconds or whatever it is.
Yeah, and they're 17-3 at home, too.
Yeah. Which, they should be. They should have a great home court record.
Yeah, and the Warriors are going to be in there on Tuesday, and I'm looking at the schedule for the Nuggets right now. Looks like they play at Phoenix tonight.
Okay.
And then the Warriors, they play Portland on Sunday. So they've actually got a back-to-back tonight at Phoenix. Then they go home and play Portland Sunday, so they'll have an off day.
So they played last night, they play tonight.
They played Thursday night and beat the Clippers. They
okay.
play tonight and tomorrow night and Tuesday night.
Oh, I gotcha.
But tomorrow's back home. So tonight Phoenix in Phoenix. Tomorrow Portland back in Denver, and then the Warriors come in on Tuesday.
from the 925, what do you guys take away from Steve Kerr having Cousins play at the beginning of a long road trip? Does he want him to get some run in so he looks good for his home debut? I don't know if it's so much looks good for his home debut. I do think there's something to bringing him back on the road. Just, I don't want to say less pressure, but there's something that I can't quite put my finger on about it that I do like. I like it better than...
Well, the Warriors play more focused on the road for the most part.
That's probably true.
I think at home they try to put on a show at times. Well, I think at home they try... I think they overly try to get each other involved sometimes to their detriment.
Right. Well, the other
thing, on the road, it's just more businesslike.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think that's going to help.
And their better games this year have been on the road. Like, their better wins have been on the road.
Yeah, I do think you're right there. The other thing is, if you're at home, Cousins, let's say the Warriors play last night at home, which they did, so he makes his debut, and today they don't have practice, so nobody even sees each other.
Yeah.
Then the next day they come in and they play it. My point is on a road trip, you know, he's going to play. He's going to be at shoot around Friday, play Friday night. Saturday, they're going to wake up and have a team breakfast that he's going to be at. They'll probably watch some film, all that kind of stuff.
And Steve Kerr was on with Damon Bruce on Thursday, I believe, earlier this week. And he actually talked about bringing him back with a road trip coming up.
It starts out in L.A., two games in L.A. with a couple of days off in between, and then we head east. So I think we're gone 13 days straight, so it's a long time to be away from home. But sometimes when you go on the road, you get a little better chance to bond. And with DeMarcus on the road, on the bus, on the plane, having team dinners, we'll all be together. I think it's actually pretty good timing, to be honest with you.
There you go.
I didn't even hear that quote.
Yeah.
It sounded like I had heard it and then just repeated it.
Yeah, you speak Kerr.
I do. The 510, kind of dwelling on the past. To say the Warriors were benefited by injuries in 2000, not saying they didn't deserve it. They had some good fortune. All champions need a little good fortune. The Warriors are champions.
Jenna in Redwood City on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Jenna. Jenna. We're going to put Jen on hold.
Yeah, it's we'll a radio issue. It's a radio issue.
Radio's up. We'll put Jen on hold. Tell Jenna to turn the radio down. We'll come back to her in a minute. While we wait for Jenna to get it together, we'll go to Dan in San Jose. Hey, Dan.
Hey, fellas. Good morning. How you doing?
Doing well.
Good. Let's suppose that you're sitting in a sports book in Las Vegas or Lake Tahoe, and you want to handicap some NBA games.
Sure.
Spread. What do you look for?
Oh, you mean in general? I tell you what, go ahead.
Methodology to do so.
Well, to me, the most important thing, and I'm not a gambler. I'll pick a game here and there. It usually is a function of the schedule. That's when I usually, you got to know where a team is coming from. You got to know where they're playing, and then you got to know where they're going, I think. Because I do think, for example, like one of my unwritten rules would be if the Washington Wizards came into Oracle, or if the Washington Wizards beat the Warriors in Washington, I'd bet against them their next game. Because I think they probably, you know, played extremely well because they were going up against the Warriors. And now when they play Charlotte, they're just going to try to roll the ball out. And that's one little thing. Back-to-backs. You got to take into consideration too, but that's mostly it, JD. Where they're coming from, you know, the Warriors, you know, they're going to play Denver on Tuesday. Okay, where are they coming from? Well, they're playing Dallas on Sunday. You know, you worried about them going to Denver. Where's Denver play? You know, if Denver would be sitting at home for 3 days and the Warriors were on a back to back, obviously that might favor Denver.
Yeah, not the case. Denver will be home, but home Sunday.
Right.
You want to give Jenna another chance before we get to Tim Bontemps?
Yeah, this is big.
Jenna, Redwood City. You're on Warriors This Week here on 95.7 The Game. Hello, Jenna.
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
Not much. How are you?
Doing well. Talk to us.
I called for the Steph Curry pose.
Sure. Yeah, what do you think?
I think he should be shooting a three-pointer, with his mouth guard hanging out of his mouth.
All right.
It's a great call, Jenna.
Thank you, Jenna.
Thank you. Really appreciate
it. Yes. The mouthpiece does have to be a factor. It's a major factor. He doesn't shoot his threes. Has he ever shot threes with it hanging out of his mouth? I don't recall that, but...
I don't know, but it would seem appropriate. And that may be a way to incorporate a little of the...
Three-point line?
Yeah, it's going in. That shot's going in.
That's true.
Mouthpiece is out, shot's in. Like, because you can't really do...
Right.
Him walking away. Oh, I guess you could. You could have, like, the ball in the air and him kind of turning.
Well, the other thing, though, is if you have it... Is there a difference between... Like, if you did a statue of him at the foul line, you did a statue of him shooting a three-pointer, would they be very different? So you may as well use a foul shot so that...
I think it's got to be a three, though.
Yeah. So basically what you're saying is if they put that mouthpiece out, then we're going to know it's at the foul line. But if there's no mouthpiece, then it probably is a regular shot. Okay. Fair enough. Thank you for the call, Jenna.
Yeah, it's a good call.
That.
Real good call.
Yeah.
Tim Bontemps of ESPN joins us here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Tim, how are you?
Doing well, guys. How are you doing?
We're doing well. Let's start with the Warriors and DeMarcus Cousins. We know where you stand on Cousins, you know, big picture as far as whether they needed him or not and how he'll fit and all of that. But just your takeaway on them finally figuring out a point where they want to start the DeMarcus Cousins clock here in the next week. What do you make of the timeline of everything and how he'll be integrated into things?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of what we have all been waiting for since they signed him, right? I mean, at this point, ever since they signed him, it's kind of like, hey, let's see what the DeMarcus experiment looks like, and you know, now we're going to get a chance to really see it, and it will be I think it'll be interesting to see what it looks like, how much he plays, all that kind of stuff. But you know, until we actually see it, I think you know it's just going to be kind of a trial basis, you know, kind of every game to see you know how much they allow him to play, if they let him play back to back, so all that kind of stuff. I mean, I think for after the last couple of years where the Warriors have kind of been just kind of the same team all the way through, and the only thing to really watch is an injury here or there. You know, I think having something like this pay attention to every day is going to be kind of fun to see.
Tim, I should have checked, but I'm hoping you were in Philly last night. Were you?
I was not actually.
Darn. I was going to say, how about those
I'm
Hawks?
See them in New York tomorrow.
When are you going to start taking a look at the Hawks?
Well, the Hawks. I mean, I'll tell you what, with Kevin Herter.
That's red velvet to you.
The Hawks have something going.
Red velvet, baby. That's his nickname. No, I do want to ask you something.
They've been really good.
Yeah.
They've been really good. Former Warriors assistant GM Travis Schlenk has something going there.
Yeah. No, I do want to ask you about Philly. And, you know, I've been around long enough to know you can't make a big deal out of one game. But I felt like in that one game last night, with watching Jimmy Butler down the stretch, he might be a little bit of a clunky fit in Philadelphia. Do you think they need one more player to take the next step, or where do you see them in their kind of evolution toward chasing a title?
I mean, to be honest, I think they need a lot more than one player.
Hmm.
I mean, I think their biggest problem is that they're about four guys short in the, the kind of the like supporting cast variety, right? They have a bunch of really good top end talent between the three all-stars and JJ Redick, right? I mean, that's as good of a foursome as you're going to find in the league. The problem is, really 5 through 15, they don't right now have enough to really be a true championship contender. That's why I think, you know, in my opinion, what they look like over the next month is going to really be interesting. I mean, I don't know if you guys have looked. Their schedule coming up is absolutely insane. If you pull it up and run through it, after they play the Knicks tomorrow, they play, I think, 10 of their next 12 games against teams with winning records. And the two teams that they play that have losing records are the Wolves on Tuesday, which is going to be an emotional game on a couple of levels with a couple of their guys coming back to Philly for the first time, and also Jimmy facing his own team for the first time. And the other game is in Sacramento against the Kings at the end of a four-game road trip that goes from Denver to L.A. to Golden State. So, I mean, that is a brutal stretch that takes them all the way through the trade deadline next month.
Yeah, and we're looking at it.
He has some. No, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying we're looking at it. You mentioned the Minnesota game, and then it's at Indiana. They play Oklahoma City. They play Houston. They play the Spurs before that trip that you mentioned. I mean, there isn't a breather in there. You mentioned Sacramento at the end of that after they play the Warriors, Lakers, and Nuggets. But then it's home for Toronto, Denver, the Lakers, Celtics. That's incredible.
It's one of the most brutal stretches of the schedule I've ever seen. And when you look at the amount of, you know, they've already had some issues, right? And you factor in the issues they've had and that stretch leading up to the trade deadline. I mean, this month has the potential to really be clarifying for them, right? Either let's say they go 8-4 in that stretch, they're probably going to feel great about where they're at. If they go 4-8 or 3-9 or something, like who knows what happened, right? Maybe they decide to trade Jimmy. I mean, who knows? Like, I feel like it's really got a chance to go a lot of different directions. And you know, they're probably the single most interesting team to me between now and the deadline, even including the DeMarcus stuff in Golden State, because of the potential ramifications that kind of stretch has for them.
Tim, I want to ask you a little bit about the East, and specifically a team that is way under the radar, but I'm starting to think it's possible, and it's the Indiana Pacers. If you look at the Celtics, Philly, Milwaukee, and Toronto, you know, they're not finished products, put it that way. You know, the Celtics are trying to incorporate Hayward. Philly's a little bit in transition, even though they're good. Milwaukee's a lot similar to last year. But what I'm saying is, could a team like Indiana that's kind of already formed and is maybe 2 or 3 years into their build, could they, in theory, come out of the East?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that they have the high-end talent necessary to make that kind of a run. The thing I am curious about with them, though, is are they good enough to finish third or fourth and throw a bit of a monkey wrench into what was supposed to be, you know, a really juicy second round with those four teams you mentioned, right?
Right.
I mean, I think that's more what their ceiling is. Like, are they able to play, you know, as the team that at worst is going to be fifth, but like I said, you look at that Philly schedule. If Philly struggles in that schedule, they're going to be, let's say they go 4-8, right? They're probably going to be 5 games behind Indiana at that point with 25, 30 games left. There's a pretty good chance they're not catching the Pacers at that point, right? So at minimum, you have the Pacers starting out with home court advantage against Philly in a first-round series that Philly could lose, right? You also could see maybe if Indiana can sneak ahead of a Milwaukee or a Toronto or a Boston, you know, then all of a sudden you've got, you know, Sixers Celtics or Sixers Bucks in the first round, right? And then, you know, one of those series that was supposed to be on the board isn't even on the board then. So to me, that's more what Indiana's ceiling is right now. I think they're probably one impact guy short of being a true contender in the East. They really only have Victor Oladipo and a bunch of nice pieces after that. But they played really well this year. They played well with Victor Oladipo not playing as well as last year, and they survived when he was hurt earlier in the year when a lot of people thought they'd really struggle. So I think Nate McMillan's done an outstanding job there. But I do wonder kind of what the overall ceiling is for that group, because I just don't see them as having the real top-end talent you need to win 4 out of 7 in a playoff series against a really good team.
Tim, what made the Raptors and Patrick McCaw a fit for each other after the charade that Cleveland and McCaw, you know, orchestrated to, you know, get rid of his restricted free agency?
I don't really know, to be honest. He's not going to play for the Raptors, I don't think, barring something really weird happening. And for a guy that wanted to play more and for some reason didn't want to play for the Warriors who didn't have any wing players, you know, I don't quite get why he wanted to go play in Toronto. You know, I mean, who knows? Maybe I'll be wrong and it'll work out, but it just doesn't feel like a situation that's gonna end with him playing much for them. If anything, I think he's just gonna sit on the bench a lot and, you know, maybe get cut again at some point by the Raptors. So, I don't really quite get it. I'm curious to see what it looks like there, because it just doesn't seem like on paper, if you're a guy who wants to play, it doesn't seem like the best fit from that standpoint.
Yeah, no, in a crazy way, I think he, tell me if you agree, I think he might have more of a minutes opportunity with the Warriors. I think Toronto might be deeper than the Warriors, or they are deeper.
There's not a question of might. I mean, the Raptors are far deeper than the Warriors. I mean, the Warriors have the top four guys, but I mean, you know, they're playing. Alphonso McKinney has been a pretty key rotation piece for them, right? Alphonso McKinney played one game for the Raptors last year. You know, I think that I don't think there's any question that if you look at the two rosters, if you're just looking at pure rotation minutes, Golden State should have had far more to offer. And that was why from the beginning, you know, kind of the stance that the McCaw camp took, that they wanted to go to a place they're going to get a lot of playing time, just didn't really make a lot of sense when you looked at what Golden State had and the minutes that should have been available for a guy to play at his position on the team.
Tim, I know something you did the last couple of years when you were still with the Washington Post, the midseason MVP. Give me your top five midseason MVP.
I think it's really at this point a top four.
Okay.
There's not really anybody else in the mix. You know, it's obviously James Harden and Giannis Antetokounmpo are one and two. And then I think Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are three and four in some order. And I think that's really the way it's going to go, right? I mean, if James Harden plays like this all season, I think he's pretty clearly going to win the award again, right?
Yeah.
My guess is at some point he probably fades a little bit just because I don't really know if it's feasible to expect somebody to score 40 points a game for another 3 months, right?
Right.
And I think the Bucks have a chance to win 60 games or close. And, you know, if they win 60 games and the Rockets win 50, maybe that's enough for Giannis to win. Plus, Giannis also has had the narrative going for him from the beginning, right? So, you know, I think those guys are probably one and two. I think Kawhi and Paul George both have shots at it if their teams continue to do well and maybe those guys slip a little bit. Maybe there's an injury or something. But, you know, I think otherwise you're looking at probably those four guys really separating themselves from the field. And then, you know, whether it's Durant or Anthony Davis or somebody in fifth, you know, I think they're, whoever that fifth spot is much farther back than the other four.
Tim Bontemps of ESPN. Thanks, Tim. We really appreciate it, and we'll talk to you next week.
Anytime, fellas. Look forward to it.
All right. Good stuff, as always, from our guy Tim Bontemps.
Yeah.
As we spray around the league a little bit. I'd like to get a little Warriors, some takes there, and then some of those teams in the East where the Warriors are going to eventually face one of them, you'd think.
Well, you know what's interesting is we should tell a listener we have a TV on without any sound, and they were just showing game five of 2017?
Yeah, it's a big Pat McCaw game.
Well, that's what I kept looking up, and I saw Pat McCaw on the floor, and I'm thinking, man, he played more than you remember him playing.
Well, in that game, for sure, and
right.
In that series, yeah.
So, but I agree.
That was probably his signature game, clincher. He was playing in the fourth quarter and hit a couple shots and helped him win it. Helped him put Cleveland away.
Yeah, it's going to. I don't know if he's going to. I don't know if he's going to play for Toronto or not.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. We open up the phone lines at Donald Foyle, 1230. It's JD and Steiny Warriors this week on 95.7 The Game.
Blakeney, left side, pull up, contested 15-footer, misses. Cook with a rebound. He's got 3 seconds, 2 seconds. Jeremko, backcourt, good if it goes. It's off, he banked it in! He banked it in! Flies high and chest bump Curry, who knocks him to the floor.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Warriors This Week here at 95.7 The Game. John Dickinson, Matt Steinmetz. A little bonding during the break. We don't need to bring any of that on the air, but
we're in the equivalent of late third quarter in our show right
now.
Yeah,
you're a good teammate because you can sense when something's up and you're like, hey, what's up? And we're similar in that we don't really want to start talking about it because once we start talking about it, then we're just going to keep talking about it to the point where it becomes a little detrimental. So sometimes it's best to just never even go there. But you're a good teammate because you're like, you realize, you know, maybe something's a little bit off.
I try to work on that, believe it or not, because I know in my past I haven't been a good teammate. I've been selfish and self-centered. From the 408, Has Bontemps heard, 415, has Bontemps heard of a guy named Steph Curry? In case you don't know, we just had Tim Bontemps of ESPN on.
And we had Steph Curry on earlier.
Oh, that's right. We had both those guys on. And he said his MVP halfway through the season, he's got four of them, Giannis, Harden, Kawhi, and Paul George. And 415 says, what about Curry? I think rather than criticize Bontemps, I think it is an indication of the way the national media thinks. And the national media has a lot to do with these awards. And the reality of the situation is, if Kevin Durant and Steph Curry are healthy, it's hard for a writer to distinguish which one of those two is the most valuable so as to move along. I mean, you can't... I mean, I'm not saying Curry can't be the MVP, but is he significantly more of an MVP than Durant? I know that if I had a vote, I would punt on those two. I'd have to put them both down the list a little. I'd go like Harden, maybe Giannis.
I think Kawhi's in there.
Kawhi, Curry, then Durant, then maybe George, you know, but that's why I don't think Curry's going to win it because of Durant.
If you told me Curry was fourth or fifth, right now, I'd say, yeah, it's about right.
Mm-hmm. I'd say the same thing.
That's about right.
And you know what? This is the price you pay for having a great, great team. You know, it's great to say, talk about how players sacrifice and how this Warrior team has great chemistry and all they think about is the team. But then if you're a fan, you can't get mad when Curry's not in the MVP consideration because that's not what the Warriors do. And you can't have five all-stars in your lineup and but then not think that Curry's getting enough credit. You know what I mean? I mean, you got five all-stars.
Yeah.
You can't, I mean, if you took Curry off the Warriors right now, they'd still be a 50-win team, I think. What do you think the Warriors would be without Curry?
Just without Curry?
Yeah. And you know what, though? See, I hate doing this because... Who's the point guard?
Yeah.
Because if the point guard's Darren Collison, you're still going to win a lot of games. But if it's Quinn Cook, now you got a little.
Now you're maybe talking 48 wins, 47 wins, something like that. They'd be in middle of the pack, I think, with a lot of these other teams.
Do you really?
In the West. Yeah. I do. Because I'm trying to think. I'm looking at it. I'm trying to think how many teams are going to.
Standings?
How many teams are going to win 50 games? It actually may wind up being more than I think. But, I mean, I'm looking, Oklahoma City is on pace to win 50. Right now, you've only got Denver, the Warriors, and the Thunder on pace to win 50.
But here comes Houston.
At the break. And Clippers and Rockets and Spurs are a little short of that. Lakers are a lot short of that. Let's get to Rob in Oakland. Rob, you're on 95.7 The Game. Thanks for joining the conversation on Warriors this week. What's up, Rob?
Oh, no problem. Good afternoon, almost afternoon. Thank you guys for taking the call. I'm just piggyback or just like to say, the Warriors, they'll be fine with when DeMarcus joins. One of the things that I say that because I used to coach basketball for 20 years, high school and junior college. But one of the things you like as a luxury as a coach is if jump shots are not going in, that ball can go down low and where you can get some money. And I'm like Matt, I remember the bad days. We will never, I won't say never, but what we have right now is a real luxury because I remember those bad days. The GM talks about his days of tickets in the rafters. I have those. I'm that kid or a grown man now that used to give Warrior tickets thanks to Al Addles when he was coaching the Warriors, had privileges and had a ball boy who's now the chief of almost chief of police for Oakland that worked as a Warrior ball boy that used to give me tickets to go see the Warriors. So I'm a lifelong fan, and as a coach, they'll be fine because – and you may say, well, what about their defense? And I'm not putting DeMarcus with Bogut, but we had Bogut, who was, at first, people forget, was a wonderful offensive player, who happened to become a great defensive player. Basketball is basketball. You make it work, and they'll find a way to work to make it work. That's all I wanted to say. You guys have a great day. Thanks for taking my call.
Here's the bottom line. You ready for my bottom line, JD?
Yeah.
If we're going to find out if the Warriors are, if they have any selfishness or not. That's really what it comes down to. If your team is unselfish, then you can have five of the greatest players on planet Earth playing on the same team, and you can make it work. If you're not, then it's a different story. And so far, all the evidence over the years for the Warriors have suggested that they know how to play as a team. I don't think that's going to go away with Boogie Cousins. Here's what I think is going to happen. All right, and this is going to take weeks and weeks leading into the postseason. My Cousins is going to come back on Friday, and the first thing we're going to see is a stretch of basketball that's probably a little bit disjointed, but it's because everybody is overly deferring. All right, that's always what happens. You see it in all-star games all the time.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to, except Westbrook, nobody wants to be the guy in an all-star game that takes all the shots. So Cousins is going to give up some ones that he should take, and Curry's going to give up some, and that's perfect. That's exactly what you want. Eventually, guys like Curry will say to Boogie, you got to take that shot. You got to do this then. You can't be looking to pass here. And then it will start coming together.
Yeah, if we're going to defer to you to get you a shot, then you can't defer back
exactly.
to us to get us a shot because we should have just taken the first shot.
Exactly. Now, that's not the end of the story, though, unfortunately.
No.
Because then what's going to happen is once everybody settles in to what is best or they feel is best or is comfortable, well, then you got to start winning. Because if you don't win in that situation, then you got to figure out why, and then you start talking about, well, who's getting the shots. See, that's where I think that would be one of my worries, is you overly defer at first, then you start playing well, but then you get into tight situations where, you know what, maybe I hate to use the word revert, but maybe Cousins does start playing like he played down the stretch of close Kings games. I don't even necessarily know if that's bad, but I guarantee you he probably took control, or he probably tried to take control, just like Kevin Durant tries to take control, just like Steph Curry tries to take control, although people say not enough. So that's what's going to need to be figured out. Who, the pecking order, the last three, what's the best thing to do offensively the last 3 or 4 minutes of a game.
Well, and you could make a case that the Warriors were already having to try to figure that
right,
out.
Right, exactly.
Even before they were getting DeMarcus Cousins back.
Yeah.
If there'd been one lingering issue for this team in the first half, it's what do you do? Because they've given it to Durant a lot. Well, Draymond Green didn't, but and that caused a problem in L.A.
And Durant's come through.
Durant's not come through. Curry hasn't been taking a lot of the actual last shots, but you're right in the sense that if you don't execute and you don't score in those situations and you lose, there are so many other options now for the Warriors that every time it doesn't work out, it's going to be scrutinized whether you got the right shot or not.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, DeMarcus Cousins post up with somebody else on him. Somebody that you wouldn't think he'd be able to guard him, and he misses.
Right.
Takes a fadeaway or kicks it out to somebody, and it's a turnover, and you don't even get a shot. Then the question's going to be, well, why didn't you ISO Durant? Or why didn't you put the ball in Curry's hands? Why didn't you run a 1-3 pick and roll?
And that's the problem. Or that's the potential problem. And that is so much more important than, oh, look, if that happens, okay, let's say that happens, they don't convert late or whatever, and then you look at the box score and you see, oh, Curry was 10 for 20, Clay was 11 for 19, Durant was 10 for 20, and look, Cousins was even 8 for 16. That doesn't, shot distribution doesn't matter at that point.
No.
It's not about shot distribution, it's about where you go.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, the radio home of the Golden State Warriors. It's John Dickinson and Matt Steinmetz here for another hour, and we're getting you closer to kickoff today as we've got a couple of games for you. The Colts and the Chiefs are coming up after we are done, and then later on tonight, it's the Dallas Cowboys and the Los Angeles Rams down at the L.A. Coliseum.
From the 707, why don't people talk about the games Kawhi misses when they talk about the MVP? No back-to-backs, and Toronto has a better record without him than with him. I don't think that... I mean, I think they are starting. I think that is starting to come into play. I don't think it came into play early in the year. I bet he now, at this point, he's probably missed as many games as Curry. Maybe close. Curry's missed, what, 11? I bet you Kawhi's up to 8 or so. But look, here's the reason. Kawhi's the best player on Toronto. He just is. There's nobody as good as him.
Kawhi's played 34 of their 44 games.
Okay, so he's missed 10. Curry's missed 11.
He's missed 10 of 44. Curry's missed 11 of 42.
What I tell you, Steven, is Kawhi's still going to get the benefit of the doubt because he's their guy. They have one guy, the Toronto Raptors. They're sitting very high in the Eastern Conference standings, and now they have Kawhi Leonard, who's the best player on their team. Guess what? He's going to be considered more than either Curry or Durant. It's just the way it is.
Going back to late game execution.
Yeah.
We're going to see some. Are you more intrigued to see the 3-5 pick and roll or the 1-5
pick and
roll? You know
what? I knew you were going to do that.
We're going to get a little 3-5 pick and roll with Durant and Cousins.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, How about that?
Yeah. That wouldn't be very smart. That would not be very smart, the 3-5 pick and roll. But
the 1-5 pick and roll.
No, that's a little different.
Okay.
That's a little different.
But you know what everybody wants to see? 1-3 pick and roll.
1-3.
What do
you got to run it to death. That and floppy. And of course, you got to stick in elevator doors every once in a while.
They don't run that as much.
You can't live and die with elevator doors, but you can use it as kind of a spice. A little bit here and a little bit there.
You can't go to that well too often, is what you're saying?
In case people don't understand, JD and I always like to get a kick out of the terminology that people...